Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 27. This is a passage where the disciples are in a boat in a storm-tossed sea, and Jesus comes to them, walking on the water toward them. And as he approaches, this is what happens. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." In 1971, the Canadian musical group that you may remember or may not, maybe from your grandparents or parents, called the Five-Man Electrical Band, released a song entitled Signs. It was one of hundreds of anti-war songs of the 60s and 70s released during the Vietnam era by others expressing confusion and anger, a call to peace, and a better way than war. Some of you might remember songs like The Eve of Destruction by Barry McGuire, 7 o'clock News, Silent Night by Simon and Garfunkel, One Tin Soldier, and many, many more. Here are a few words from the song Signs. "And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat and I went in to ask him why. Sign, sign, everywhere sign, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign? Now, hey, you, mister, can't you read? You've got to have a shirt and a tie to get a seat. You can't even watch. No, you can't eat. You ain't supposed to be here. The sign said you got to have a membership card to get inside. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign?" And then their song ends with this verse. "And the sign said, everybody welcome, come in, kneel down and pray. But when they passed around the plate, at the end of it all, I didn't have a penny to pay. So I got me a pen and a paper, and I made up my own little sign, and I said, thank you, Lord, for thinking about me. I'm alive and doing fine." The past few weeks, we've been talking about integrity. And we saw that integrity is not based on credentials or titles, resumes, trophies, and awards. Integrity is not to be confused with reputation, what we appear to be to others, but instead it's something much deeper. It's character. We saw that it doesn't come in different sizes or varying degrees. You can't have a little integrity or a lot of integrity. You either have integrity or you don't, in all things or in nothing. We saw that integrity, the integrity that we need to claim for our lives, is an integrity that is born out of and rooted in a relationship with God, a relationship aligned with God's will for our lives, a relationship that is surrendered to God because we trust Him, always wanting the best for us, whether facing the lion's den like Daniel or ending up with a second place trophy like our very young son Nathan and his Charlie Brown Racer did in the Tampa Regionals years ago during the annual Cub Scout Pinewood Derby races, an integrity which compels us to press on toward all that God calls us to, even when along the way our car may blow up in the desert as Kermit the Frog's car did on his way to Hollywood with his friends to make millions happy. An integrity honoring our relationship with God, moving us to trust and follow Him and His direction for our lives, no matter what. The problem for us in staying the course and in maintaining that integrity in our relationship with God is that along the way, we face all sorts of different signs directing us, enticing us, and luring us away from Him. Signs misdirecting, distracting, and detouring us from where we should go and what we should do, while we often miss or ignore signs saying no, or stop, or not this way, or don't go there. There are signs all around us which come in the form of temptations and misdirections, opinions, expectations, voices, problems, emergent moments, unexpected storms, and maybe even the never-ending onslaught of a world pointing us toward pathways of guaranteed success, they say will happen if we follow this way. Signs would cause us to turn away from where we know we should go or were rightly headed before until we saw another appealing sign directing us in a different and wrong way. In the passage from Matthew that we just read, we see that Peter clearly had one sign right in front of him, Christ walking on the Sea of Galilee to the disciples in the boat. Peter and the other disciples had seen many signs of Christ through the miracles he had performed, through his teachings and numerous acts of kindness. And the sign Peter saw was saying, come. So, focused on Christ, Peter got out and began walking on the water toward Christ, in alignment with, surrendered to, and fully committed to Christ. But, then Peter looked away at the other signs around him, signs of the storm, the winds, and the rain, and he took his eyes off of the sign of Christ that he should have continued to look and walk toward. Instead, he focused on the troubles and the seeming emergency of the life-threatening storms around him, while right there before him was the giver and source of all hope, all life, power, and peace. But he took his eyes off of it, lost his way, and began to sink. It reminds me of a key principle of whitewater river running. I remember the first time I ran the Chattooga River, located as part of the Georgia-South Carolina border. We were told before we began the day-long guide-led excursion, and this was after I had to sign all these forms where they notified me I might die on this river run. But we were told that if we fell out of the raft into the danger of the churning whitewater, to never look where you don't want to go, but to always keep your eyes focused on where you wanted to go, which was downriver. All of us at times have looked where we didn't want to go, at the signs all around us pulling us where we didn't or shouldn't want to go, into all the problems and pitfalls littering our paths that are part of a life of whitewater rafting, so to speak. Like Peter, who took his eyes off Christ, looked at the storm and began to sink. We do the same and find ourselves sinking at times in life. A few years ago, Linda and I drove from Western North Carolina to Harlan, Kentucky to pick up our then high school son, Nathan. He had gone on a church mission trip to that area with his youth group, a group which also included a friend who was a girl by the name of Amy, who later became his girlfriend and then a few years later became his bride. They celebrated their 24th wedding anniversary a few weeks ago. When Linda and I finally arrived in Harlan after a winding drive through narrow mountain roads, and if you've been there, you know what I mean, and while looking for a spot in town to park, waiting for Nathan to finish, we noticed a sign on the curb running along the street where we thought we would park. It was a sign clearly designated for one prime parking space. The sign said, "Don't even think about parking here." There you have it. Clear as a bell. That's what it said. Don't do that. Don't park there. No doubt, no confusion, no doubt about that sign. Don't even think about parking here. I wonder if those are the signs that you and I really need around us each day. I think at times they would help, especially me. Not just those encouraging us or calling us to where we should go or telling us to come, but maybe we also need those which emphatically tell us where not to go and what not to do. Signs like, don't make that call. Don't connect with them on Facebook. You shouldn't say that. Don't look there. Don't go there. You don't need that drink. So where do we find the signs that we need to guide and direct us each day? Where do we find the signs to encourage us, to keep us and protect us from temptation, opinions and problems, from the expectations and voices of others, and the signs to help us deal with life's emergencies and help us get through unexpected storms? Well, let me suggest that they can be found where they have always been, in God's Word. But not only the signs of warning, of clear do's and don'ts all throughout Scripture, but also the signs of encouragement, calling us to follow Him as Peter heard in the boat, or as he heard when he first met Christ, and then we last saw Christ, where Christ said to him, "Follow me," or signs of Christ's words to the disciples and people who had been so burdened by the religious rules of the Pharisees when he said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Or what God said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. I am with you always." Words that Joshua heard right at the moment that he needed to hear from a God as he began, Joshua began to lead the Israelite nation into the promised land. And how about the cross, the ultimate sign of Christ's love for us, reminding us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Or even the sign in the closing verse of the song, Signs, sung by that five-man electrical band, whether they realize what it meant or not, which said, "Thank you, Lord, for thinking of me. I'm alive and doing fine." And my friends, with God and God's word, we will also do fine. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for my friends. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for all that they have done, all that you continue to call them to do. Help us to spend more time with you, to spend more time in your word, to look for those signs every day of our lives that help us to move in the direction that you want us to move. So that when we come upon those forks in the road or those decisions we need to make or those temptations in life, we know immediately either where to turn, or we know immediately because we've spent so much time with you that where to go and what to do and what not to do. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. And help us to be that sign for others. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us. And be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.